Welcome to the Betting Above the Rim podcast. Today's date, June 29th, episode 64 in our podcast. Today, we get into five topics. First, a trade late night with DeJounte Murray getting traded from Atlanta to New Orleans. We'll look at the trade and we'll look at the fallout for both teams. Next, we go to the Mecca, New York City. The Nova Knicks are officially all together now with Mikal Bridges getting traded cross borough, I guess you could say, from Brooklyn to the Knicks. We'll talk about that, the OG Anunoby signing, and the draft picks that the Knicks took in the draft a couple of days ago and how it impacts their team in the future in the Eastern Conference. Next, I'll give you my winners in the NBA draft. Then we'll go to the losers, and then we'll wrap up with a early rookie of the year thoughts. I like two guys. It's a wide open race. No one's a heavy favorite. So I got two guys for you to take a look at. And let's get started with the big trade that happened overnight, reported by Adrian Wojnarowski sometime in the 11 p.m. hour, as DeJounte Murray gets traded from Atlanta to the Pelicans for Larry Nance Jr., Dyson Daniels, a 2025 first-round pick, that's through the Lakers, a 2027 first-round pick between the least favorable, between the Bucks and the Pelicans. So, and when you think about this trade, folks, I talked about this way before the draft, and even on draft night, that this was going to be the beginning of the tear down and rebuild in Atlanta. They were a middling team. They had to start to make some moves. And obviously, the big domino was DeJounte or Trey. Who was getting moved? And there was rumors going around that it was going to be possibly DeJounte because he could have fetched more on the open market than Trae Young, which I found to be kind of fascinating because if you really line him up, as good as DeJounte was this year, particularly after Trae got hurt, I always thought that Trae's been the better player. So here comes the trade, folks. And like we talked about, it's quite interesting what we have here. New Orleans, simply put, have been interested in DeJounte Murray for months. It makes sense for a team like New Orleans. It allows them to move CJ McCollum from the point to the two-guard spot. Listen, he can play the point. He can get it done. But he's not the facilitator, like get the ball, create for others. That's really not his game. If you look at his best years in Portland, he played alongside Damian Lillard. So CJ being on that second side of the floor, it helps him. DeJounte Murray, simply put, had three game-winning shots in the last, I think, 5 seconds this past year. Tied with Steph Curry for first. A New Orleans Pelicans team that was 0-22 this year when trailing in the fourth quarter, going into the fourth. So now you got a guy in DeJounte who is shown to be getting better as a closer. He's also a defensive dynamo at the point of attack. And I think he's a guy that can push the pace here. Simply put, I thought that New Orleans was going to be a team that's going to make a jump, right? This is the catapult. This is the catalyst of starting this jump and move up the Western Conference standings because I absolutely love the backcourt of Murray and CJ McCollum. Now, what becomes interesting here is what do we do in the front court, right? Obviously, Zion's not going anywhere. Should he not? He shouldn't be anyway. Jonas Valanciunas could be leaving in free agency, right? Understood. Then you start looking at the small forward position. And do you go Herb Jones, Trey Murphy off the bench? Trey Murphy, Herb Jones off the bench? Because they want to bring Herb back, but they're extremely high on Trey Murphy III. I am as well. I think he's one of the best 3-and-D guys in the league. And when Trey Murphy gets minutes, Trey Murphy gets buckets. So to me, it's an interesting dilemma that they have. I don't think they can play with Zion at the 5. I don't think it's where they're going, folks. So look for another trade. It's interesting enough. I haven't talked about Brandon Ingram, a Brandon Ingram that they could bring back, but a Brandon Ingram that I think is going to get moved. And I think the intriguing place for me I would look at right now is Brandon Ingram to Cleveland for Jared Allen. That trade helps both teams, right? Jared Allen just goes right to the center position right there, boom. And when you look at Cleveland, you then move Evan Mobley to the 5, then you slide Brandon Ingram to your stretch 4. Boom. It helps both teams. And it's both good young players that I do think may benefit from a change of scenery and will excel in their new environment. So I think that will be something to watch out for. Next is what happens with Brandon Ingram. I don't think they do anything with Trey Murphy or Herb Jones. So then one of them probably comes off the bench. So that's something to look at. When you look at Atlanta, like we said, they broke it up. Now Trey goes to the point. Now Reese O'Shea can now move to the two-guard spot. I thought he projected it to 2/3. Now he's your two. Unless you start Bogdanovich at the two, Reese O'Shea as the three. Now it becomes of between Jalen Johnson and DeAndre Hunter. They're not trading Jalen Johnson. He had a great year. He's proven to be more healthy. And I think with the contract that DeAndre Hunter has, I think he can fetch something for you, but to get his contract off the books. A team looking for a 3-and-D guy that could play a 3-4. Honestly, I think Philadelphia would not be a bad place for DeAndre Hunter because he could slide into that spot for Tobias Harris. And simply put, I think he's a better defender than Tobias. Tobias is probably a better shooter, but there's more upside to someone like the game, obviously, of DeAndre Hunter. Then you look at the center position, look out for Okongwu versus Clint Capella. Here's the thing. The next three drafts, the Hawks don't control their first round pick. It's either the trade with San Antonio or a pick swap San Antonio could have. So Atlanta can't full rebuild. They got to rebuild while being competitive. And it's going to stink next year when they have and it got obviously the pick through the Lakers, which would be, it's not going to be a lottery pick because I think the Lakers find a way to be in the top eight in the West. But it'd be a mid-teens pick. Maybe they try to get another pick for DeAndre Hunter because the 2025 draft is absolutely loaded. There are players all over the place, obviously led by Cooper Flagg, Ace Bailey, Dylan Harper, probably three of the top four picks in a draft. So Atlanta can't tear it down completely. They got to be careful. But by the way, what a job by the Pelicans. What a steal pulling this off without trading Hunter, Brandon Ingram, or any of their Herb Jones, any of those guys that you think should have been moved to Atlanta. Great job by the Pelicans. They'll be on the come up. Let's move on to Gotham with the Knicks. There's always been this joke about the Villanova Knicks. The Villanova Knicks, they showed games, and after the game, they started making fun of Mikal Bridges. And then obviously after the offseason, Mikal saying to Josh, come to Brooklyn. And Josh's like, no, come to New York. I don't know if it's tampering, posturing, I don't know. But the trade happened. And Mikal Bridges is now a member of the New York Knicks. And reuniting himself with Brunson Hart and DiVincenzo, a team that won a 2016 national championship for Jay Wright. There is something to be said about culture. We always talk about the Heat culture. We talked about what Pop had the culture with Duncan, with Manu, with Tony Parker. We've talked about the culture that Steve Kerr has built, obviously with his big three of Draymond, Steph, and Clay. But we'll talk about Clay next week because I think he's gone. The Knicks have developed their culture. Simply put, these are Tibbs guys. You look at guys that are, let's be honest, defensive-minded, hard-nosed, play all the time, and give you maximum effort. And Mikal Bridges slides right into that conversation with his Villanova teammates. It sets up an interesting dynamic in New York with now they also re-sign OG Anunoby to a 5-year, $12.5 million contract. So now the New York Knicks simply put looked at the Boston Celtics and said, okay, you're the best team in the East. How can we compete with you if it's a 7-game series? You need 2 3-and-D guys, 2 long, lanky defenders that can get it done. And with Mikal Bridges and OG Anunoby, simply put, you have 2 of, I would say, the 5 best at that, 3-and-D. If you want to throw in Jalen McDaniels, you want to throw in Herb Jones, but I don't think either of those guys have the offensive skill set of an Anunoby or Bridges. So, maybe Scotty Barnes, you can call a 3-and-D guy, but Scotty Barnes is more of a superstar. Simply put, the Knicks have Anunoby and Bridges to line up with Brown and Tatum. So now the offensive focus comes the defensive focus, I should say, comes off Julius Randle. It comes off Jalen Brunson, and they can excel what they can do. Also, the way that they can both catch and shoot from three, Bridges and Anunoby. Now you have driving lanes for Brunson. You have driving lanes for Julius Randle. You have a driving lane for a guy like Josh Hart who can put his head down and bully ball you to the basket. It's a fantastic trade for the Knicks. They gave up a ton. I get it. Five first-round picks. You don't care about the first-round picks. If you're giving up first-round picks, right, the Knicks, and you're trying to win a championship in the next 5 to 6 years, those picks are in the 20s. So you don't even care about that at that point. And Leon Rose has done enough of recouping picks during the time frame, and they have enough first-round picks moving forward that they're still going to be competitive and still add on to the roster. So, starting lineup, Jalen Brunson, Bridges 2, OG 3, Randle 4. We'll see about Hartenstein. They're trying to shed money to try and get him. It's only going to be 4 for 72. He can get more elsewhere. He may be gone. Mitchell Robinson, Josh Hart, Dante DiVincenzo, Tyler Kolek. Oh, wait a minute. Oh, that's more. Look about what the Knicks just did in the draft. Getting Tyler Kolek, absolute steal as the 34th pick overall. Pascal Didier. I can't even say his name right. That's why I don't think he's going to be important for the Knicks right now. But Kolek is. Because you know who Kolek is? This is another Tibbs guy. A tough kid. Experienced. Played 4 years of college. Can do a lot defensively. Drive the ball. I would call him a left-handed TJ McConnell. But bigger. Right? So I think this is someone that's going to really help him. Then you look at Kevin McCullough, a.k.a. Josh Hart Light. Bully ball. Decent shooter. Rebounds well above his size. Can grab the rebound, push in transition. Sneaky good passer. Willing defender. This is another Tibbs guy. And you notice with the Knicks, they grab guys sometimes in the draft, especially second round. They like older guys. Why? They don't got time to groom them. They need to compete. Simply put, the Knicks are the second best team in the East right now. Can they overtake Boston? I don't know. But can they give Boston a six-game series? Maybe seven games with the way they can defend and grind your gears? Absolutely. Will the Knicks be the number two seed probably in the East or number three? Yes. Will they win over 50 games? Yes. Why? Can't Tibbs just take the regular season so damn seriously that that team is going to compete night in, night out. If they're healthy, the Knicks are the second best team in the Eastern Conference. They're a top five team in the NBA going into next year, and they're going to compete for an NBA championship. It wasn't about the Knicks getting the next superstar in the roster. It was about the Knicks getting the right piece for the roster. They got it in Mikal Bridges, and they kept it in OG Anunoby. Moving on to the draft, my winners. Simply put, I love what Minnesota did, okay? Getting Rob Dillingham at 8, Terrence Shannon Jr. at 27. Folks, good luck defending that second group of Rob, Terrence Shannon Jr., Shlomo Anderson, Naz Reid. Good luck. Good luck defending Rob Dillingham and Terrence Shannon Jr. because both of them are ridiculous on defense and they can push the pace offensively and they can go get their own bucket. And think about late game, right? Close game. If you want to go offense and they can play defense and you can go Rob, Shannon Jr., Ant Edwards, put Jalen McDaniels at the four, and then if you want to go small, put Cat at the five. How are you going to guard that team? And they're already great defensively, so they're going to be even better. I thought absolute home run by the Minnesota Timberwolves in the draft. Moving on to Memphis. This is not about Jalen Wells. I like Cam Spencer because they need someone to shoot. Maybe Luke Kennard goes, right? Zach Edey, 7'4", can score in the low block, can do so many things around the basket. Could rebound with abandonment. Zach Edey, folks, is absolutely the perfect fit for this team. Think about it. when they're at their best 2 years ago. Steven Adams at the center, Jaren Jackson Jr. at the four. Now you're getting a bigger, better, more offensively gifted, and just as good defensively, Zach Edey. It allows Jaren Jackson Jr. to do what he does best. Weak side shot blocker, weak side rebounder. And now you have someone with a guy like Edey that could start the break with the rebound, outlet the jog, fly up the floor. But then when you slow the game down, you throw the ball inside. Let me tell you something. They're not going to be able to mug Zach Edey like they did at Purdue. It ain't going to happen. Zach Edey, folks, if they give him 24 minutes a night, 25 minutes a night, I'm calling him right now, 15 points, 8.5 rebounds, 9 rebounds a game, close to a double-double. It's the NBA, folks. They got to play him one-on-one. They're not going to be able to stop him. It's too big. Look at all the centers here. They're going, I have just talked about Jared Allen before. You think Jared Allen's going to be able to check him when he buries him in a low post? You know what I'm saying? Like, this guy could play. This is a big, big win. Big win. Big win for Memphis. Because they did all this, and they didn't have to trade up to get Edey. Third team, and the biggest winners of the draft, has to be the Lakers. Has to be the Lakers. Folks, they got Dalton Connect at 17. A Dalton Connect that was number 7 on my draft board. A Dalton Connect that I thought was the best pure shooter in the draft. A Dalton Connect that can make it from 3, get into his mid-range game, and get all the way to the cup because he's a grown-ass man and finish. A Dalton Connect that when you line up the Lakers, they need shooting because LeBron and AD need driving lanes and they need the floors to be spaced. They also need somebody that can run off a screen. So now you can have LeBron drive the ball and you got Austin Reeves and you have someone like Dalton Connect can knock down threes. I know that D'Lo opted back in this morning into his deal or accepted his player option. He still could get moved, in my opinion. But Dalton Connect is the perfect thing for the Lakers. It helps them dramatically. And so does Bronny James. Because it keeps LeBron there. And they didn't have to trade any assets to move up in the draft to get Bronny. Sure, I mean, listen, like it or not, what they did, what Rich Paul and Clutch Sports did was a shrewd move. Simply put, you draft Bronny, or send him to Australia. And no one called their bluff. Because honestly, they probably would have done it. So Bronny James gets to stay with his dad. Maybe sometimes he plays some G League games in El Segundo, right? He's in the home. He works with his dad. He works at his run the NBA. Keeps LeBron there. Keeps LeBron happy. Keeps LeBron engaged. LeBron will opt out. Then he'll probably sign a 3-year deal. And now the Lakers can make one last push with LeBron, with AD, with Austin Reeves. What Dalton Connect? Can Hachimura be better? Can Jared Vanderbilt stay healthy? What do they do with D'Lo, right? Jackson Hayes opted in today. But more importantly, can J.J. Redick be better than Darvin Ham? I was thoroughly disappointed in the job that Darvin Ham did as his first head coaching job. Rob Pelinka won't make the mistake again. He'll surround J.J. with the right guys. Lakers are going to be better. Are they a championship team? I don't think so, but they're going to be better. Quickly, my losers on the draft. Number 1, Charlotte. I love Tijon Salam. I told Tijon Salam was going top 10 3 weeks ago. I bet it. But they could have traded down. Speaking of Memphis, Memphis wanted to go to 6 because they wanted to jump Portland for Klingon. Why did that deal not get done? You could have traded back and still got Salam at 9. I like KJ Simpson. I think it's a good pick, so I'm not knocking that. To me, it's not about who Charlotte got. It's when they took it. And this team continues. Now they got Brandon Miller, right? They got LaMelo. They've made a ton of mistakes over the years. I like Salam. Could you have won Zach Edey or obviously Donald Clinton? Yes. But I can't knock it. I knocked that he got pick 6. Philadelphia, simply put, did not need Jared McCain. I know he can shoot the ball really well, but he's small, he's not an elite defender, and he's going to struggle to get his shot off in this year's NBA. He is Seth Curry, which Seth is good. But to me, I think they could have went bigger when Dalton connect. Bigger, right? Got him to pick four, the Lakers did at 17. Could shoot the ball, shut to four, play defense, plug and play right now because we're trying to win. They missed the mark. They needed a bigger shooter. So I would have went with either Jared McCain. I would have went with Jakobi Walter. If you wanted to go with the Da Silva kid from Colorado, I would have went with there. I wouldn't have went with McCain. It didn't matter that that's where McCain was on my draft board 15th. It was about fit. And still, if you want to talk about taking the best player on my draft board, Dalton Connect was 7th. You know, McCain was 14th, 15th. They should have went Dalton Connect. Milwaukee, AJ Johnson, what are we doing? What are we doing? This team's trying to win. You think Giannis is going to walk into that locker room and say, oh, man, stole a draft. Got AJ Johnson. Guy that scored 2 point whatever points per game. That's the guy that we wanted. That's the guy that's going to take us over the top, right? And I think that's the thing that's so wild about it is it didn't make sense for Milwaukee's time frame of the fact that they're trying to win, right? AJ Johnson, simply put, and I have to go dig, guys, I got to go digging to find AJ Johnson was rated 37th on my draft board. AJ Johnson was the 17th rated point a guard on my draft board. So when they picked at 23rd, they could have got Isaiah Collier. They could have got Johnny Furphy. They could have got Tyler Kolek. They could have got Terrence Shannon Jr. They could have got Baylor Shireman. All those guys could have been plugged and played for Milwaukee right away. And they didn't do it. And I don't get it. They're trying to get better. They already said that they want to build a new guys around Giannis and Dame. That's not my words. Those are Doc Rivers' words. And this is how you address it in the draft. Simply put, terrible draft by Milwaukee. I have no idea what they were thinking. Let's end today's podcast by talking quickly about the Rookie of the Year award. See, this is not last year with Wemby. Look at it, folks. The favorite is Alex Sarr plus 425. Simply put, Alex Sarr is a favorite because he's going to be plug and play the center position at Washington, and they'll play no damn defense. Reece O'Shea is plus 625. Now with DeJounte Murray getting moved, he has a starting lineup spot at small forward or the shooting guard spot. Remember, they also traded A.J. Griffin a couple of days ago. Stephen Castle, I think he's going to be the best player overall when it's said and done. 7-1. But when you look at Rookie of the Year, Zach Edey, 9-1. And then Rob Dillingham, who ain't even on the list. I think he's 20-1 on BetMGM. I told you. If you look at these guys, name one guy out of this group that's going to get you 15 points a night in the rookie year. Sarr, no. Reece O'Shea, maybe. Castle, probably not. Dalton Connect, no. Zach Edey, yes. Reed Shepard, I don't know if he starts. Bazelis, does a lot of things. Scoring isn't one of them. Salam, he's got LaMelo and Brandon Miller. No way. And you know what? Ron Holland, what are we doing? Cody Williams, nice player. Won't score a ton right off the bat. Zach Edey is the only one I can look at you and say, I think he gets 25 minutes. He's going to be one of the focal points offensively because he's going to open up the floor for John Morant because he'll be able to score. He'll score in half court. He'll rebound like crazy. I love Zach Edey. But I'll tell you right now, Rob Dillingham's going to score, folks. He's going to lead that second unit with Minnesota. Rob Dillingham is a walking bucket. End of story. Don't tell me anything different. And create and transition. He can do it in half court. He can do it in the pick and roll game. And he's going to have time late in games where he's going to be in the backcourt with Anthony Edwards. And Mike Conley gets hurt sometimes. Rob can slide into the starting lineup. He's going to get minutes, folks. And one thing Rob Dillingham can do, he can flat out score. This has been your Betting on the Rim podcast, episode 64. For all things sports gambling, download that Sports Grid app. Pre-game, in-game, post-game, props, predictions, and more from the very best in the sports gambling industry. Episode 65 will tape on Monday. We'll get into free agency. Does Clay stay or go? What happens with PG-13? Is there a trade? What are the rumors? I'll have all the news for you from my producer, Matty George, Vinny with the graphics. It's always a pleasure for you to listen. Remember, folks, it's smarter to be on Sports Grid. Good night.